your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guest. And today we're hoping to have Miriam Grossman with us. She's a doctor. Dr. Miriam Grossman works at one of our major universities. And she works with the students there at the at the university. And, of course, I think so many of our young people are just not getting the right sort of message. We're telling them, oh, just go ahead and use a condom and protect yourself from AIDS. But that's not the issue. There are 60 million young Americans, 60 million Americans with a sexually transmitted viral disease that have listened to the doctors and listened to the public health service and listened to the CDC. And they've protected themselves most of the time, and many of them will carry a sexually transmitted viral disease for the rest of their lives. Our young people need to get the proper sort of message. They need to understand about sexual and sexual intimacy, and they need to understand that there is no free lunch. You can't simply go out and do whatever you want to. There are consequences for whatever we do. And so Dr. Grossman wrote the book initially, Anonymous MD. It was subtitled, A Campus Psychiatrist Reveals How Political Correctness in Her Profession Endangers Every Student. And finally, she decided to speak out. Now, remember, this is not the idea of personal responsibility and call it morality, call it what you will. I mean, advocating personal restraint and the fact that you are responsible for what you do and what you do has consequences, that's not a popular attitude on our colleges today, our universities. We're encouraged, our young people are encouraged, actively encouraged to be promiscuous, and here's the psychiatrist coming along and saying, hey, this is not the way to do things. Dr. Grossman, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Hey, thank you so very much for being with us again. Well, now, this is an entirely different audience, so you can be repetitive in the things we talked about. And I just sort of tried to lay the foundation of the frustration of what you must feel dealing with these young people every day. So you pick the story up from there.
Okay, well, I've written a book called Unprotected. I'm a campus psychiatrist. I've been working at the University of California, Los Angeles for over 10 years. And I've been seeing students who are in distress and need my help. I wrote a book because over the years I began to see sort of a trend that disturbed me, and that was that there were students coming in, mostly women, young women, and it was clear that the culture that they are living in on campus is a culture that promotes what we used to call promiscuity, but it's now called a hooking up culture. A hookup is a sexual encounter between two people who don't have plans to see each other again. And the research shows that 40% to 80% of students on our campuses engage in this sort of behavior, hooking up behavior, and what I object to is the advice that's given to kids about how to stay healthy, sexually healthy. They're told use condoms, limit your partners, and get tested frequently. So what I found that was that people were ending up needing to see me, sometimes with a sexually transmitted disease that they were depressed about, sometimes with a broken heart or confused about relationships, and they had followed those rules. So I call the book Unprotected because I didn't consider them to be protected enough.
All right, you hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a minute, right after this commercial announcement.
Have you ever wondered about what the mark of the beast is in chapter 13 of Revelation? What does 666 really mean? Or about the harlot church of Revelation 17? Or about the beast of Daniel in Revelation? Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the foremost scholars on geopolitics and popular talk show guest, Dr. Michael Kaufman, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. Dr. Michael Kaufman is recognized for his penetrating analyses of global events and has used his information to almost single-handedly stop the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity from being ratified by the U.S. Senate, 1 hour before the Senate was to vote to ratify it. Order World Events and Prophecy now and see why those who have seen it say it is one of the best DVDs on the subject. Order now at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. That's 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard.
The war on terrorism. Will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
When you're looking to build a new facility, there's a lot riding on your shoulders. You have to get a structure that meets your needs. You need one that's built to last. You need to get it built quickly. And most importantly, you need it to stay within budget. What you need is a pre-engineered steel building from Anthem Steel. You won't believe how much you'll save in both time and money with a brand new, built-to-last steel building. For free information on how you can get the building you need with less time and money, call 1-800-771-1934. You can even customize your building. You select the size, you select the style. You can even choose to add the look of brick, stucco, or stone. Building a new facility is a big responsibility. Make it easier by calling Anthem Steel. Achieve your goals faster and with less strain on your budget. For free information, call Anthem Steel at 1-800-771-1934. Call Anthem Steel today, 1-800-771-1934. That's 1-800-771-1934.
Dr. Shan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Dr. Miriam Grossman, and she's just talking about what goes on our college campuses today and the tragedy that befalls so many of the young women who think that you can have a sexual encounter and they just go on as it never happened. And one of the things that I actually learned from reading the books is that there is a hormone that has to do with bonding. It has an important factor, plays an important factor in when a mother is nursing her child. But it also apparently is released when people are sexually intimate. Would you like to just mention that? In fact, we never heard about that when I went to medical school.
Yeah, sure. Well, there are hormones that are released both in men and women. The one that's released in women that's of note is called oxytocin, and that is the same hormone released in a woman when she goes through labor and delivery as well as nursing. So it's thought of as a hormone that involves bonding and attachment. And if you take a female rat and inject her with oxytocin, she will become attached to another rat's babies. Did you follow me on that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So we know that oxytocin is a hormone that promotes feelings of attachment, and we also know that it is released during sexual behavior. Now, when I spoke to you last time, there was something that I didn't mention because I wasn't aware of it, and that is that oxytocin is also released in men, as well as a hormone called vasopressin, and those hormones promote attachment as well. However, what works against those hormones is testosterone. And so when testosterone is high, I don't want to get too complicated, but when testosterone is high, it can sort of inhibit or cancel out the effect of the oxytocin. So you have in men, I think it's safe to say that you have other things going on that might work against that sort of attachment that's going on in women. But whether the case may be how different men and women are, I still think it's important for young people to get this information about these hormones, along with information, of course, about condoms and sexually transmitted diseases and birth control.
Well, but unfortunately, our young people are not getting this. They do not understand that there will always be that feeling or that relationship of a young woman, or many, usually a relationship with that fellow, even though she may never see him again. That will always be that memory, that almost like fixed in her very being.
Well, we're not, you're right, we're not sharing that with psychology and reproductive health, sexual health. People are not including that in the, you know, mountains and pages of information that's given out about so many other things having to do with sexuality. And I am not someone saying that abstinence-only education, we shouldn't be telling people about condoms, we shouldn't be telling them about STDs. I'm not saying them. I'm saying please include this information. It's as important as the rest of the stuff that we're giving them. So there's sort of there's a situation here where biologically we're made to attach during sexual behavior, but our culture is saying is not acknowledging that, and our culture is saying, you know, go ahead, hook up, use condoms, get tested for the STDs, and basically, you know, just have a good time. That's what's being said on that website that I discussed with you last time, goaskalice.com. That's a website out of the health services of Columbia University. It's not, their approach toward these matters is not the approach of my university, and I want to underscore that. I'm not talking now about UCLA. I'm speaking about Columbia University. Any parent who has a child in college or that's going to be going to college should log on to goaskalice.com. It's one of the most popular, if not the most popular, health education website that exists. It gets 2,000 questions every week. So it's just hugely popular, and what you'll find there is quite astonishing. You'll find information about how to set up a threesome, a foursome. You'll find encouragement to explore those possibilities, and even glorification. There's emails from married people writing in saying that when they added someone else to their marriage relationship, their marriage grew and flourished and improved. You'll find information about fringe behaviors such as sexual sadism and masochism. You know, the sorts of things that I think would surprise and distress many parents of students about to go on our campuses. So, yes, there are instances where the universities are promoting this sort of behavior. And what I'm asking is, how can you promote that behavior and at the same time say that you're fighting herpes and fighting the human papillomavirus and fighting unwanted pregnancy? So that's what a lot of my book addresses.
And, you know, I really think the tragedy is that all the young people who do have sexually transmitted diseases, and, you know, if you were out there on the college campuses now and you're being promiscuous and you're a young woman, I mean, the odds are against you not getting one of these diseases. In other words, what are the statistics, you know, as far as, say, human papillomavirus infection in co-eds? Do we have any idea? Or herpes infection?
Yeah. So I have here the human papillomavirus, the prevalence, the prevalence in 14 to 19-year-olds is 33%. Now that's young. These are kids mostly in high school. And also the studies indicate that the human papillomavirus infection is acquired shortly after initiation of sexual activity. So in other words, the instruction that we're giving women to limit their partners may not necessarily help when it comes to HPV, because they're likely to get it from their first or second partner. And I have seen women... are you with me?
Yes, we're just hanging on here. Go right ahead.
Good. I have seen women who... tested positive for the HPV virus, again, which can cause warts and can be dangerous in terms of cervical cancer. I've seen people who have that after one sexual encounter with one person. So it's highly contagious. Condoms prevent HPV transmission in only about 60 to 70% of cases. In other words, the condom is effective in preventing the transmission for areas that are of skin that are covered by the latex. But for the areas of skin that are not covered, the virus can live on those areas and be transmitted. So, you know, basically, the situation is serious. And you know, I call the book Unprotected because many of these people, I consider them to have believed that they were protected, but truly they were not, and they're paying a very high price.
What happens to these young girls psychologically, and even some of the boys too, for that matter?
Well, look, I think that it's fair to say that the instability of the personal relationships that are going on, and the sort of chaos of hooking up with someone that you may not see again, and then, you know, another person soon afterwards who you may not see again. This, not for every woman. There are exceptions, and there are people that seem to be fine with it, but there are plenty of women that suffer from confusion, heartache. They want more from the relationship. They become attached. They like the young man. They're confused. How does he feel about me? Maybe he likes me more than just as a hookup. You know, could that be? Could that not be? It causes a lot of distress. And sometimes the distress leads to other behaviors, such as bulimia. We know there's a lot of bulimia. Girls or women that are prone to have problems with eating disorders and bulimia, when they're under stress, when they're under stress from romantic issues, if you can call this romantic, then their bulimia can flare up again. Or if they tend to have problems anyway with self-harm and cutting and burning, which is, you know, also increasingly popular among young people, then something like this can cause that. I'm not saying that the hooking up in and of itself can cause people to go and take a razor blade and cut their arms. I am saying that it can make the difference sometimes in people who already have certain problems, that can be the thing that puts them over the top.
Well, you know, the thing is that I grew up in an entirely different world. Of course, I was graduated from medical school over 50 years ago. But, you know, at that time we had 5 sexually transmitted diseases. We got about 20 of them now, don't we?
Yes, we have over 20. And we also have a situation where some of them like gonorrhea, is becoming resistant to the great antibiotics that we always have treated it with. You know, these bacteria are very smart, and they can mutate and become resistant to the medications that are used to kill them. And in some instances, that is happening, so that we have to turn to different medicines to treat the same condition.
And, of course, the tragedy is many of these young girls that get the gonorrhea in their tubes, and the tubes have become scarred, and then they want to have a child and really fill their lifetime ambition. Why? They can't have a child. And the same is true with chlamydia. We're dooming so many young people to a real life of sadness because of what they're not being told. We'll be right back. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you, and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over 3 gigabytes of detailed information on the 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., full-color photographs, 550 high-resolution full-color maps, and detailed information and analysis that you need. Order Prudent Places USA now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order online at BerkeyWater.com.
Ted Anderson from Midas, December 21st, 2006. Gold, $621.20. 1 ounce gold coins are at $640.76. $322.93 for half. $161.47 for quarter ounce coins at $640.76. $322.93 and $161.47. 1971, Nixon closes the gold window. Fiat currency. 1920s, the German mark explodes from 75 to 23 trillion. 1995, gold doubles against the Mexican peso. 1997, gold increases 82% over the Indonesian rupee. In 1998, gold jumps two-thirds over the Russian ruble. 2002, the Argentine peso loses a fifth of its value to gold. 2006, the last superpower, the USA's mighty dollar, loses over half to gold and other raw goods. Could government let this happen? Without immediate backing, how much will it lose? Midas has Nick Barashev's report covering the loss of purchasing power, fat tail events, bull market economic vulnerabilities, and gold-oil relationship. You've lost half of your purchasing power. Call 800-686-2237 before the rest disappears. That's 800-686-2237.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything, all kinds of fans, sheets, pillows, you name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helps. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot. No matter what the reason, you can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer.
Visit bedfan.com. That's bedfan.com.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest today is Miriam Grossman, and we're talking about her book, Unprotected, A Campus Psychiatrist Reveals How Political Correctness in Her Profession Endangers Every Student. And would you say that your position, your concerns, are shared by most people, most of the psychiatrists and psychologists across America? Or would you say that perhaps you're sort of a maverick?
Oh, I feel like a maverick at times. I think it might be too early for me to answer that. I'm hoping that more people are going to come out and voice their agreement. I've received tremendous encouragement from somebody in a very high position in psychology, Dr. Nick Cummings. He used to be president of the American Psychological Association. He came out and supported me strongly. He's written his own book called Destructive Trends in Mental Health about many of the same issues that I'm discussing. So I suspect that there are a lot of people that agree at least with certain things that I'm saying, maybe not every single thing.
But do you think some of them are just afraid to speak out because everybody else seems to be going the opposite direction?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, when you don't hear your views being expressed, I think it's natural to not share your views. So, yeah, of course that does happen. Now, just to clarify, I do back up all my arguments with hard science. So it's not a book where I'm moralizing or preaching or saying to young people, you know, this is wrong, this is stupid. I'm more saying that young people need to get all the information. They're not being given all the information that we have in science. And I'm faulting my profession and the universities for not being aggressive with this public health problem the same way we are with smoking and diet, what have you, drinking. I mean, you said that you went to medical school 50 years ago. So wasn't that a time when smoking was something that was widely accepted?
It really was.
Yeah, so actually I've been wondering, how did we get to this point where we're making it illegal to even have smoking in a restaurant and, you know, all the restrictions that we have on smoking? We were able to turn that around in our society.
Well, we did, but we did it by force of law in many instances. And, of course, by a very, very effective campaign, which I think I certainly applaud. I think that certainly eventually the physicians in California came around and we began to put pressure on the various magazines to just quit, you know, showing, taking all these ads for the Marlboro Man. Began to put pressure on Hollywood to discourage this idea that everybody was smoking. At one time, whenever you saw a motion picture, why, everybody was smoking.
Right. Yeah.
And you can remember, of course, Humphrey Bogart and Laura Bacall and they're lighting cigarettes from one another.
Yeah.
You don't see that today because they're using the
That's
power of
That's what I really
the...
want to look at is how we were able to do that and to, without the assumption that people are going to smoke anyway and all we can do is sort of urge them to smoke less or smoke cigarettes with low tar and nicotine. We didn't take that public health approach.
No, and of course the thing is that you watch the movies today and what do you see as far as the sexual intimacy and everybody's, you know, it's the James Bond syndrome, you know, it's bed to bed to bed to bed to bed.
And so what I'm wondering is why as health professionals, why is it we make the assumption that people can change their behavior if they only are urged to do so with all the information they need and we don't relent, you know, every visit we say, you know, you've got to remember to eat well and avoid, you know, X, Y, and Z and wear your seatbelt. But in this area of sexual health, we somehow have the notion that people, especially young people, well, they're just going to behave this way and that's the way it is. We just better do damage control.
Well, of course, when I went to school, why, Kinsey had just come out, and Kinsey was one of the major turning points in the whole moral foundation of our nation. And Kinsey actually put out a lot of what I believe is fraudulent science, but that was used then to change the laws of our society, and it was really pushed, you know, on our young people. Everybody's doing it. Go ahead. There's no consequences. You know, sex without consequences, sounds pretty nice, especially to young fellas, but people don't understand that everything we do has consequences, and Kinsey was a fraud, in my estimation. But we only have to get into who financed Kinsey, what was their real agenda, and I think we see the end result of that agenda today. But we don't want to hear what I have to say, we want to hear what Dr. Grossman has to say. So as soon as we get through this break, we'll have Dr. Miriam Grossman back again, and of course, we'll take your calls.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Hey, ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products in education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day? Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that the United Nations has never settled disputes, but always makes them worse? Our own ambassador to the United Nations in 1982 admitted such. Did you know that the United Nations ignores communist atrocities, but always targets non-communist nations and their leaders for overthrow? We would like to help you understand why these things are happening and how they fulfill Bible prophecy by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Just request your free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Call now. Operators are standing by to receive your call.
Well, Dr. Stan back here in the at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Miriam Grossman. We're talking about her book, Unprotected, A Campus Psychiatrist Reveals How Political Correctness in Her Profession Endangers Every Student. Dr. Grossman, would you like to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your book? Dr. Grossman, can you hear me? Dr. Grossman, are you there, or am I even on the air?
Oh, you can't hear me?
Yes, no, I can hear you now. Okay. Would you like to tell our listeners how they can get copies of your book?
Sure. I think the easiest way probably is to go onto Amazon.com or to go to Barnes & Noble. The way to look for it, though, is not under my name because it was originally published by Anonymous MD, and only next year, I hope, will it be published with my name on the cover. So don't ask for it by the author, but by the name Unprotected.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question on this subject, I think it's an important one. You have a couple of very interesting points in here on the sexual transmission of AIDS from women to men. Now, of course, we know that women can get the AIDS from men, but what about men getting AIDS from women? Would you like to discuss that? I thought that was a rather interesting point.
Yes, I have a chapter about a student that came to me experiencing a great deal of panic and distress because her husband told her that he had been unfaithful and had been with other women. And she was terrified that he may have gotten the HIV, the human immunodeficiency virus, from one of these women that he had an affair with and given it to her. And she was the most terrified that she may have then given it to her child who she was nursing. So what I do in that chapter is go through the different routes of HIV transmission, and I explain how there's vastly different risks, rates of risk in terms of those different ways to pass it along. We are under the impression from our health organizations and universities that vaginal sex and anal sex are equally dangerous when it comes to transmission of this virus. That is not medically accurate. Unprotected anal sex is many, many, many more times dangerous than unprotected vaginal intercourse when it comes to this virus. And in fact, there are experts in this field that believe that the transmission through vaginal intercourse is impossible unless the vagina already has conditions that render it more susceptible, such as another STD or infection or a precancerous lesion or some other bleeding. So there's really a vast difference between the different sorts of sexual behavior in terms of transmission of HIV. Now, I want to make an important point, and that is that this is not related solely to sexual orientation, because there's something like 22% of women on campuses having anal intercourse in order to avoid pregnancy, and because some people consider themselves to still be virginal. So this has to do with anatomy and the difference between the anatomy of the different parts of the body, and it's information that I believe young people need to have. And what I highlight in the book is that when we talk about HIV as a sort of equal opportunity disease that anybody could get, regardless of what kind of sexual behavior they engage in, then the people that really need to be worried and careful and getting frequent testing, the people who are having anal intercourse, are then can minimize their risk. And that is what's happening. We're seeing that that a lot of gay men are underestimating the risk that they are the risks that they feel that they have about HIV, whereas the people who are not having anal intercourse, they're having vaginal intercourse. Many people, such as my patient who came in, vastly overestimate their risk and are going constantly for testing and have this on their mind and may be preoccupied. So I believe that this harms everybody, the people both who are at high risk and the people that are at low risk.
Well, Well, I think there's a lot of fascinating things in your book, and I certainly am. You know, I've studied AIDS since the beginning of the epidemic, and at one time I was very involved in trying to address it. But I've really learned a lot by reading your book. Now, one of the things we talk about, of course, is drugs and certainly drinking in our college students. What about that? Is that a real problem?
Oh, absolutely. It's a terrible problem. Binge drinking is responsible for accidents, concussions, and deaths. Every campus certainly has its collection of horror stories about students who have become intoxicated and gone on to hurt themselves or other people. There's a lot of sexual behavior that occurs after drinking. I think that what I'd like to bring up in terms of that subject is that we only look at it in one way. We say, when it comes to campus health, we say, well, if people weren't drinking so much, then we wouldn't have a lot of this hooking up, risky sexual behavior. And that's true. But I think we need to just consider the possibility that people are drinking because they feel they need to behave sexually in a way that is difficult for them, that goes against really what they would like to do, what they would naturally do if they weren't intoxicated. So I believe that perhaps one reason why there's so much drinking is because there's this pressure to conform to the campus culture of hooking up in order to fit in. And so it's not only that the drinking is causing the sexual behavior, the irresponsible sexual behavior, it's that the pressure to participate in that sort of behavior may be causing some of the drinking.
Well, now, what about the psychological impact of abortion? You know, a lot of girls think, oh, I got pregnant. Well, that's all right. I'll just have an abortion. That's the end of it, and I can go on with my life, and everything's just going to be fine.
Well, look, that's true for some people. It may even be true for most people. However, we have over 1 million abortions a year. We know that for sure there is a population of women. We know they're out there because there are all kinds of programs and websites that are packed full and very, very active, with people logging on and sharing, you know, how they're feeling and what they're going through. So we know they exist. My argument is that, you know, my profession will overturn every stone looking for victims. Victims of natural disasters, victims of sexual abuse, harassment, domestic violence, playground bullying. That's what we do. We try to be sensitive to the fact that people may not bring up in their interviews things that have happened to them that's difficult for them to face or to share out of shame or embarrassment. So we ask. All I'm saying in that chapter, and I know that it makes a lot of people very upset, I'm just saying that along with the questions about sexual abuse and emotional abuse and all the other things we ask about, we should be asking a woman if she's ever been pregnant, if she's ever had an abortion, and what that experience was like for her. We're not doing that enough. Individual people may be doing it, but again, I'm speaking the institution of psychiatry, psychology, and social work on our campuses. We don't necessarily ask every woman who comes through if she's had a pregnancy or not. And we certainly don't ask men if they've ever experienced an abortion in a relationship that they've had in the past. And that is a terrifically important thing that we should not be ignoring any longer. I discuss in the book some research that was done by a sociologist. His name is Arthur Shostak. He himself went through an abortion with his girlfriend in graduate school, and he was never able to put it behind him. And when he reached, I don't know, maybe his 40s or 50s, he decided to do some research and see, you know, how common was it for for a man to go through his life and still have memories of that day and still be wondering and perhaps regretting and asking questions. So he went out and he distributed questionnaires to boys and men who were sitting in the waiting rooms of abortion clinics. He distributed 1,000. And he found that 80% of the boys and men that were in those waiting rooms indicated that was the darkest and longest day of their whole lives. And he did subsequent research on these men, you know, years later, and found that the feelings didn't necessarily go away, and that there were large numbers, significant numbers, who wanted to talk about it and needed to share it. In other words, it was causing some emotional consequences in them. Now, it's very politically incorrect to bring a man into the whole equation when we're talking about abortion, but nonetheless, if we truly are concerned with everybody and everyone's mental health, we cannot ignore the effect that abortion sometimes has for men.
And I think it's really an important issue, and there's just so many important issues that, you know, I'm sure you have to deal with every day. I'll never forget when I was in medical school. I took a 6 weeks rotation through Langley Porter Clinic there in San Francisco. And I got so emotionally involved with the patients, I realized I could never become a psychiatrist. I don't know how you're able to sort of, you know, divorce yourself from that.
Yeah.
Or does it wear on you after a while?
You know, that's interesting. I started with pediatrics, and I could not bear to see kids that were terribly ill and sometimes dying. That, to me, was harder than psychiatry is. So I guess everyone's different. I mean, I love hearing everyone has a life story that's different. People that you would never imagine, are carrying around with them tremendous emotional difficulties, and they're heroes. They make it through the day. They have jobs and relationships, but they have horrible scars. So I would say that my patients really inspire me.
Well, I'm glad we have good psychiatrists, and I know how you feel, because I'll never forget, you know, dealing with a couple of young children who had osteogenic sarcomas. And, you know, I just couldn't go in and talk to them. I just couldn't deal with it. That's why I became an orthopedist. That's, you don't have to be very smart or be an orthopedist, and your patients all get well. And they don't get well, you send them to an internist or psychiatrist. But orthopedics to me was a very gratifying specialty. But I think what you're doing is so vitally important, because I think somebody has to address these young people, so many of them hurting, so many of them lost. So many of them have lost what we had when I was going to school, and that was a sense of right and wrong. And of course, I believe we sometimes need to tell young people, because if they were so smart, they wouldn't have to be going to college. I think that they need an awful lot of guidance, and I don't think they're getting it, tragically, in their schools, in their churches, certainly in their homes.
Well, of course, I'm not in a position of telling people what's right and wrong. I'm telling them what's healthy and unhealthy.
And
that's what the book does as well.
That's exactly right. And sometimes that's but you're accomplishing the same goal, by a very effective means, and certainly using science as the background, you know. And of course, you comment how I was reading your Planned Parenthood considers symptoms of trauma following abortion a non-existent phenomenon, circulated by the anti-family planning extremists. How do you address something like that?
Well, you know, really the people that are hurting the most from that is the women who do have some trauma from their abortions, and they know that these large organizations of mental health workers are denying that they exist.
Right.
How do we address it? That's, you know, one of the reasons I wrote the book, is to get people talking, you know, thinking about these things without just dismissing it. People are dismissing me just sort of by saying I'm anti-feminist and anti-women. That's just ludicrous, because the entire book is about protecting women and keeping them healthy and keeping all their options open in terms of having a family later on if they want to. So it's quite preposterous. But what do we do? I mean, I guess we have to be aware that different organizations have agendas, and we just have to be smart about it and warn young people and make sure they get the right information.
And I think you've done a wonderful, wonderful job in your book trying to bring this out in a scientific background. And so I recommend the book to our listeners. And again, where can they get the books?
They can go to any major bookstore, or they can go right on to Amazon.com. Just look under Unprotected and don't use my name, because it was originally published anonymously.
And, of course, was it Dr. Lohr who actually encouraged you to use your name on it?
Yeah, she was very, very excited about the book, but she wouldn't, she didn't want to endorse it if I remained anonymous. She encouraged me very strongly to come out and put my name on it, and so I gave it quite a bit of thought. And then at the same time, there were other people that were speaking up and encouraging me, and some of them quite prominent. So I went ahead and I was no longer anonymous.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're not. Of course, it wouldn't matter to me one way or the other, but I think that sometimes we just have to stand up, and there are going to be people who are going to be critical no matter what you do. But I think you're absolutely right in everything you say and everything you're advocating. And I think the young people who come to you for treatment are very, very fortunate.
Thank you.
Well, God bless. And please, we look forward to having you perhaps onto our early morning program. Do you have to work every mornings?
No, I don't.
All right, well, we'll give you a call. Maybe we can get you onto our morning. We do a program at 7 o'clock every morning, but... So we get the chance to talk to a lot of different people. Anyway, thank you so very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
And you too. Bye-bye.
American Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, bath safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video Sheltering in Place, Surviving Acts of Terrorism from Biological, Chemical, and Radioactive Fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video Sheltering in Place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Are you concerned about the high cost of prescription drugs? Since January of 2006, RxDrugCard.com members have saved an average of $33 per prescription filled. That's over 46% savings. The average savings for generic drugs was over 71%. RxDrugCard.com is the only major discount prescription drug plan that offers a price lookup page, so you can get an idea of your discounted price before you enroll. RxDrugCard.com is for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. There are no age restrictions, all prescriptions are covered, and 95% of all pharmacies in the U.S. participate, including Walmart, Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, and many more. With RxDrugCard.com, you will save immediately with no messy forms or paperwork. Membership fees start at only $4.50 per month and include a 30-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Visit us at www.rxdrugcard.com or call us at 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461. Do it today.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this one I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope many of you give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family and supporters and help us as we reach out 5 hours every day trying to educate people about what's going on. Well, Chris, there seems to be a great deal of interest this time of year in the flu and the influenza. We've got a great VHS with Dr. Ayoub. It's a talk on the influenza vaccine and really how dangerous it is, not only for the elderly but for the very young. And this whole subject of thimerosal is beautifully covered. And so if you'd like to get this interview with Dr. Ayoub, we just call it the Dr. Ayoub, A-Y-O-U-B, a talk on vaccines. Why, this is influenza vaccine specifically, and thimerosal. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Now, we have a DVD on thimerosal, and we just call it thimerosal because it actually starts out with about a 20-minute session where a reporter in the Midwest from a television station goes all over the country talking to government officials and others about the danger of thimerosal and vaccines, and you can tell that these government officials are lying. Boy, if you ever saw government officials lie, these were people who, in my estimation, were not telling the truth. And then it goes into Dr. Geyer's work. And it's really very, very scholarly done. There's 20 minutes, of course, simply like a 60-minute presentation, and then the lectures from Dr. Geyer, the background of their work. There's no question that they're poisoning our children. There's no question that they're poisoning our older people, and so many of them are getting Alzheimer's disease, and so many of the people I practiced with in years past and now are just barely able even to tie their shoes or feed themselves. And what a terrible, terrible tragedy is. And it's all unnecessary. You've got to be pretty evil when you know what you're doing and you're concealing the truth from the American people. So that DVD is called the Thimerosal, and then there's another one called The Smoking Truth. So we actually have two DVDs and a VHS on thimerosal. We have a couple of 4-tape sets. We carry the book entitled Evidence of Harm That Goes Into Autism. We've got a 4-tape set on autism. You need to understand how they're poisoning the American people. Going back to fluoride, of course, we have the DVD. It's put out by Dr. Kennedy, called Let the Truth Be Told. Another one entitled Is Your Drinking Water Safe? Now, of course, we've got my talk entitled The Hidden Agenda, the syllabus that goes with that, which is very good. Now, my talk is only on VHS at the present time. This is such an important issue. If we could just get people to understand, we are being systematically poisoned. In fact, I was on a debate on the Joyce Riley program earlier this week when the fellow was trying to discredit me, and he said, why, of course, Dr. Monteith believes in conspiracies. This man was saying that masonry wasn't a conspiracy, but I believed in conspiracies because I was concerned about water fluoridation, and I really didn't want to ask him if he had read any of the scientific studies. Now, if you want to read the scientific studies, you can go on the Internet and go to fluoridealert.org. Fluoridealert.org. Don't go to com or net because they've surrounded this website with websites put up by the American Dental Association because the last thing they want you to know is that they're poisoning your children. So if you'd like to get the material that we have, we've got to carry the book, The Fluoride Deception. This is such a great issue because, if once we can convince the people that they've been lied to about fluoride and about vaccines, and why we can begin to get question the other things that are going on. If you'd like, of course, to get the DVDs, we put together a 5-set of DVD for 911, 911, the Press for the Truth, 911 Mysteries, Terror Storm in Plain Sight, and The Day That Changed America Forever, and you get all 5 of them for $89.95. And when you watch them, you won't have any question at all what happened. Building number 7 was brought down as a controlled demolition, and if they did that, everything else is a lie. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour right here at Radio Liberty.
Now you can bring Berkey Purification Power in.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our guests. And well, today we have with Mr. Scott Tipps, and he's from Great Britain, and we're going to be talking about Codex Alimentarius and the other issues dealing with the health problems. And, of course, most people do not understand there is an attack on our health, and a very effective means of attacking us even more would be to limit the availability of some of the natural herbs and the healing methods that have worked so well for thousands of years. And now, of course, in the wisdom of the internationalists who control these international treaties, they want to force our countries, both England and the United States, to begin to enact legislation, or through the bureaucratic technique, that will limit the ability of people to do what they want to do for their health. Because, after all, these people are from the government, and they're here to control us. Mr. Tipps, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Well, why don't you sort of pick up the story? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Now, I'm actually in Paris right now. I'm in France, but I'm a California licensed attorney, and I'm the general legal counsel for a nonprofit organization called the National Health Federation, and we're the... Pardon?
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay, sorry. We're the world's oldest health freedom organization for consumers, been around for almost 52 years now, and we've been the ones with the voice at the table at the Codex meetings that you've referred to, and I've been the chief spokesman for that at those meetings on behalf of NHF and on behalf of those who are interested in having and maintaining the right to keep their freedom to take those nutrients that they wish to take.
All right, fine. So now, Chris, then you worked with Maureen Solomon until she passed away recently?
I sure did. In fact, I was by her side when she passed away on August 17th, and I was her personal attorney for many, many years as well.
Well, now, tell us what's happening with these Codex meetings and how they're going to impact on the people here. Are you in Europe? Because, of course, are they holding the meetings over there, or how does this work?
Well, it's funny. I came over here before I started going to the Codex meetings, and because the Codex meetings are held here, Dr. Stan, it became an easy thing for me to go to because the particular committee that we were interested in, the one that deals with nutrition and foods for special dietary uses. You see, there's the Codex Commission, and you probably already know this, but for your listeners, there's the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which is a kind of an offspring of the United Nations two organizations, the World Health Organization and the Food and Agricultural Organization, the WHO and the FAO, and they created this entity called Codex Alimentarius Commission that's based in Rome and also Geneva. And its goal is to standardize, ostensibly, it's to standardize foods throughout the world. And what happened is that around, and it started in 1963, but actually maybe some would argue 62, but what happened is that sometime in the mid-90s, the various committees which are assigned various topics, such as food additives, there's another for food labeling, there's another for general principles for rules, but the one that we're most interested in is the one that's held in Germany every year, every November, and it's the one that deals with foods for special dietary use and dietary supplements in particular. That's the one we attend.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Mr. Tips. Go right ahead. You were telling us about, you attended these meetings in Germany.
Yes. And we, early on, we did it. I did it as a member of the U.S. delegation, but found that was like being a bump on a log. And I was able to, through much effort, but able to get the National Health Federation observer status there where they could actually speak out at the meetings. And now we've been doing that, much to the annoyance of the authorities there. And I've had personal knockdown, drag-out fights with the EU representative because they want to impose, cutting to the chase here, Dr. Stan, they want to impose upon all the member states, and this includes the U.S., Canada, the European Union, most of the third world countries as well, they want to impose general rules dumbing down the food standards for consumers.
Well, what's wrong with us, you know, being responsible for our own food? Is there anybody who really thinks that a government body can do a better job than the individual for the individual's health?
I totally, totally agree with you. The more remote the entity is from the person who's responsible for his or her own health, the more dangerous it is. And in fact, that's what we're finding with Codex. Get this. They haven't set the upper limits that they would allow vitamins and minerals to be, but you know how any of your listeners can go into a vitamin store and get like a 500 milligram capsule or tablet of vitamin C. Well, the way it's headed with Codex, and it hasn't reached this point yet, but this is where it's pointing to, the maximum allowable vitamin C tablet would be 225 milligrams, not 500.
What would the possible rationale for that be for that? I mean, when you and I both know that you probably better be taking, you know, probably a couple of thousand milligrams a day because we don't manufacture this like other animals.
Absolutely right. I totally agree with you. I think the ostensible rationale for it is that they're protecting the consumer, and when they encounter something like what they consider to be high doses that would encourage diarrhea, which actually 500 milligrams will not, but then they will knock it down. Also, they subtract out from the maximum amount what they think the consumer is getting in his or her diet anyway. So if you're eating oranges and all of that, they'll knock out 60 milligrams per orange from the amount per day that they think you should get. But the undercurrent reason for doing it is the pharmaceutical companies control what's going on at Codex. They don't want the competition. They win two ways if they limit the potency. They get, they eliminate competition for treatment, and at the same time they get more sick people to treat themselves.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course I asked Scott Tips, who's an attorney for the National Health Federation, why it is that why in heaven's name would they want to have these international rules and controls placed on how many milligrams of vitamin C you could have in a capsule. Now, sometimes people will take a great deal of vitamin C and they'll get loose stools, they get a little diarrhea from it, then they back off, they know that, they're intelligent enough. But now you have a group of bureaucrats over there in Germany who want to make the decisions for you and want to begin to actually limit the amount of vitamin C in a capsule from ordinarily, you know, 500 to 1,000. Now they'll get it down to 250, and who knows, they may even go lower. And it is his contention that this is being pushed by the pharmaceutical industry that realizes that, you know, vitamins many times and minerals that properly used can really create healthy people. And Well, the pharmaceutical industry doesn't make any money if people are healthy. There really wouldn't be anybody who would have that attitude. That would be so crass and indifferent to human beings that they'd really want to foster illness.
Yeah, it's sad to say, but yes, there's some people who realize that what they're really after, in a way, by having the pharmaceutical industry control what's going on, is that they want to, frankly, reduce the population of the planet and reduce the number of people here. And what better way to do it than to withhold from the population health-giving nutrients? I mean, just consider selenium. Selenium, a simple mineral, has very strong antiviral properties. It helps protect people from even catching the AIDS virus or other viruses, for that matter. If you're taking 200 to 400 to 800 micrograms a day, the person getting that much selenium is far less at risk of catching AIDS or other viral infections just by simply having a selenium-rich diet. And that translates into fewer customers for the pharmaceutical industry if something like selenium is available.
Well, you know, Scott, I was very involved with the AIDS epidemic and tried to address it as a public health issue during the 1980s and the first half of the 1990s. And when one of my very good friends suggested to me that the reason we were not doing anything logical to address the AIDS epidemic, not using any of the standard public health techniques that could readily be used to control this terrible disease, and the reason we weren't doing it was because of population control, I refused to accept that. I mean, psychologically, I couldn't accept it. Today, I know it's absolutely true. There's no question in my mind. I think that we have to get people to really understand that there really are wicked people out there who really do not care about humanity. They would like to dramatically decrease the population of the world, and I'm so glad to hear you willing to come out and make that statement.
Well, thank you for saying that. I know, like you, it took me a while to come to that. And to be honest, I've probably only come to that conclusion this year, even though I'd been hearing about it for quite some time. But it appears clearer and clearer when you look at the evidence that, such as the contamination of the smallpox vaccinations in Africa, simultaneously you can see the vaccination campaign points and the AIDS springing up in exactly the same points, not just coincidentally, but exactly the same places where the smallpox vaccinations were given to the population. It's really, really, really a shame. And one other thing, the vitamin C example that I gave you, the upper limits for Codex, that's actually one of the better examples for them. But get this, you have, for example, they think on niacin, and we typically have 500 milligram capsules of that. They want to reduce it down to 17 milligrams. And vitamin B1, they want to reduce down to 1.3 milligrams a day as a maximum upper permitted level.
And what do they want to do, have everybody come down with beriberi?
Probably.
The B vitamins are so very, very important. And, you know, beriberi, and, you know, what was a definite result of a vitamin B deficiency? And these people get congestive heart failure. It's been so long since I studied these things, 50-some years ago. But these were vitamin deficiency diseases we didn't have because people had the right to go out and buy their vitamins and take them. They don't want you to be able to do that. And for the average person in the audience sitting there, they're saying, that couldn't be true. I mean, there really aren't people out there that want us to be sick.
You're absolutely right. And the sad thing is, I don't know if your listeners are aware of it, but there was a study done by the Harvard Medical School because they kept getting complaints about doctors having no nutritional knowledge. And so they did a survey of doctors throughout the country. I forget when this was done, but it was at least 10 years ago, maybe longer. In any event, they did this study, and as a control, they would ask the same nutritional survey questions of the doctor's office receptionist. And they found, when all was done and said, and the results were in, that in almost every instance, the receptionist knew as much about nutrition as the doctor, unless the receptionist was on a diet, in which case she knew more.
And, you know, of course, I can speak from personal experience, and this is something that is never discussed or hardly ever discussed in medical meetings. It wasn't until I actually heard a fellow on the radio here locally who I consider to be a quack talking about selenium that I began to do the research and realized, at least on this issue, he was absolutely right.
You know, it's absolutely amazing what you can do with various vitamins that have very strong health-giving and preventative properties. One thing that's not well known, but is increasingly becoming known, is that the limit for vitamin D, everyone thought it should be 400 international units a day, and if you did any more, you were at risk of dying or something like that. Well, they found now that the normal amount is really 3,000 to 5,000 units of vitamin D a day, and it has very strong cancer-protective properties. Vitamin D can help women prevent them from getting breast cancer, can help prevent men from getting prostate cancer, and it's extremely good for helping to regulate blood pressure levels. And we could spend a whole hour just on talking about the properties of vitamin D.
Well, not only that, but of course it will tend to prevent your getting the influenza. You know, you start getting a
Absolutely.
Cold, you take a good stiff dose of vitamin D, and you know, or coming down with a cold, and you'll knock the thing right on out.
Yes, that is so true.
And there is so much out there that you need in the listening audience to learn. Fortunately, we do get some very, very smart guests, and I had no idea Scott was going to be talking about that. But anyway, let's get back to the Codex situation
sure.
where they're actually trying to impose these rules on the United States. And this won't be anything our legislature, your elected representatives, have anything to do with. This will be imposed by international edict. And the
yes.
whole idea was always we were going to do an end run around the Constitution, that outmoded Constitution that guaranteed your freedom and your rights, and the international bureaucracy that had their own agenda now would determine what you were going to do with your body and your food and your vitamin intake. Are we going to win this one or not, John? Pascal?
I think ultimately we will. I think in the short run we'll see perhaps some defeats, but I think ultimately we will win it. I mean, the science is over. I mean, it's all about politics now. Supplements are hugely safe, and why waste resources controlling them? You know, what they're trying to do is they're trying to classify vitamins and minerals in the same category as drugs and toxic chemicals, and they treat supplements with a toxicology model, which means that they want to apply a drug-like regime to it, and you see it even in this country through the FDA. But with Codex, what we're doing is trying to slow down the process enough that it will wither on the vine by the time it reaches the end. I've been going to these Codex meetings for years now, and the National Health Federation has been sending me for years and paying the bill. And because of the U.S. elections, I didn't go to the most recent meeting last November, but we still sent a delegation of three people to Thailand, where they held it as a special meeting this year. And it's very clear that we have the strongest arguments. Our delegation, the NHF delegation, has the strongest arguments for defeating this attempt to set the limits of these vitamins at, say, 17 milligrams for niacin and 1.3 milligrams for vitamin B1 and that sort of nonsense. And so, yes, I think we'll win. But you're absolutely correct on this one point especially I want to reemphasize. And you talked about end run. That's the word I use, too. And that is that what they're trying to do is they can't defeat it locally or nationally. But what they're doing is trying to, through these ad hoc and direct international treaties, get it imposed upon us by fiat, by dictate from above. And the FDA is a co-conspirator in this because they've wanted this all along. And this is the way they can win the game. They've always wanted the arbitrary power over our food supply, over vitamins and minerals, and they were really set back on their heels in 1994 when the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act was passed that really took away a lot of the arbitrary powers of the FDA. Now that we have a Democrat or will have a Democrat-controlled legislature, for whatever reason the listeners may think that's great, I'll tell you from a health freedom standpoint, it's an absolute disaster because the ones always pushing to eliminate vitamins and minerals have always been the Ted Kennedys, the Dick Durbins, the Susan Davises, the Henry Waxmans, the Dingle of Michigan, all of those morons who are just in the pocket of the pharmaceutical companies if they aren't just absolutely blithering idiots. And if they have their way, and a lot of these people I just named will be chairmen and chairwomen and subcommittee chairwomen of areas that deal with this issue, they are going to be there with their axes out to chop away our rights to take vitamins and minerals and to defend our own health in our own hands.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that the average individual understands what this is about, brings pressure on your congressman, on your duly elected representatives, and simply says, we're not going to put up with this sort of thing. And if you want to get reelected, you're going to have to take a stand, because you're going to endanger my health and the health of my family. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Scott Tipps from the National Health Federation. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Scott Tipps. And so, do you actually live in Europe, or do you just go over there for the meetings?
Well, kind of a little bit of both. So, I'm over here quite a bit, and then I'm in the States as well, and then various other places. But I like being in Europe, and it's nice, and then it's nice to go back to the States as well. I know where you are in Monterey. It's a lovely area, and being from California, being a California licensed attorney, I'm pretty familiar with that area. So you're in a gorgeous area yourself, right there.
Well, of course, we're blessed to live here. I've lived all over the world, in Africa and in Europe and okay. Places in the United States, and I've always come back to this area and never regretted it.
Well, for good reason.
All right, fine. Well, now, certainly they want to limit the doses. What about things like selenium? What about things like magnesium, which, incidentally, for our listeners, if you're out there, you should be taking magnesium. Most people are magnesium deficient. And magnesium is just what a wonderful mineral, exactly like selenium. And you have to be able to take a certain significant amount of it. What are they trying to do with those? They try to cut those off as well. And what are they going to do with herbs?
Oh, herbs are under a different regime, because what they're trying to do is model the codex rules that will be imposed on all the other countries on the European Union regulatory scheme, which is basically you're guilty until proven innocent. That's their modality, as opposed to the traditional Anglo-Saxon view of things. You're innocent until proven guilty. They flipped it on their head, and the continental model, which follows the Napoleonic law and the old Prussian law, is the reverse. Everyone's guilty until proven innocent. And with magnesium, it's not quite as bad on the maximum upper limits. It's about 400 milligrams. But you're absolutely right to highlight magnesium, because two main reasons. One, magnesium is the one mineral that helps take the edge off of depression. If anyone's suffering from depression, it won't eliminate it, but it certainly takes the edge off of it. That's been proven time and again. And the other thing is, it's increasingly clear, especially for these males, in their 50s, 40s, who are joggers and are otherwise great exercise fiends, is that they deplete their magnesium levels, come back, and they drop dead of a heart attack. And the reason that's happening primarily is because they've depleted their magnesium levels.
And then they get a cardiac irregularity, and of course magnesium tends to actually quiet down the hyperirritability of the heart. Would that be a good explanation?
Yeah, that'd be an excellent one, actually. The magnesium's very important for regulating the electrical nerve signals going to and from the heart, and without it, people can suffer sudden death from heart attacks and otherwise be entirely healthy and have a clean bill of health from their own doctors saying, oh, yes, your arteries are clear, your cholesterol level is great, blah, 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 all that nonsense, but they're, wildly deficient in magnesium. Go out, do a two-mile run, come back and drop dead. I was up against an attorney once in a court case. He was up in the Sacramento area, and great guy, and he was 50 years old. He'd gone out jogging, came back, dropped dead. He was otherwise extremely healthy. It was really a a sad thing because he was a really great person. But those kind of things happen.
And, of course, the thing is, most people have no idea about what we're talking about. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Scott Tipps, who's really an attorney for the National Health Federation. Of course, he's licensed to practice here in the state of California, travels throughout the world to these various meetings, these Codex meetings, where they're actually planning on how they are going to regulate your health. Well, you can see what a good job they're doing. Every time the government gets involved, why things get worse. I mean, you can see what a great job they're doing in the Middle East. Do you want to entrust your health to the people who got us into the mess we are in Afghanistan and Iraq today? Well, what can the average individual out here in the listening audience do about this idea that a group of bureaucrats are going to sit around and determine how many milligrams of niacin and vitamin or units of vitamin B1, or we can have in the capsules we're taking. This is, you don't want to be taking, 15 or 20 capsules to get what you could get in one capsule, and it would be prohibitively expensive, and it would certainly discourage people from taking what they really need in the way of vitamins and minerals to preserve their health.
Well, I think there are two main things that I would say. One is to always be in touch with your congressman or congresswoman and your senators, and to be what I would call persistently vocal. And what I mean by that is not just to write one letter or make one telephone call or send one fax or one email to your congressman or congresswoman, to your congressional representative or your senators, but to do all of those. And then when you've done them all, do them again. Be so obnoxiously persistent that they can't ignore you. They'll just want you to go away, and the best way to go away is to vote your way in Congress. Because what we have right now for the last 12 years is the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, or DSHEA, as we call it. And they keep trying to chip away at its protections. What DSHEA has done is actually, as I mentioned before, taken away the arbitrary powers of the FDA to eliminate your right to take vitamins and minerals. In fact, since 1994, when DSHEA was enacted, the market in vitamins and nutrients and the research that's gone into it and the new knowledge that has come out from it has absolutely exploded. You know, there's something like 1,000 new dietary supplement type products that come out every year, and the research is fantastic. So what we want to do is protect DSHEA against Codex, because Codex cannot directly affect DSHEA. It can't directly repeal DSHEA, but what it will do is they can, through the World Trade Organization, since we're a member of it, and through various trade dispute entities, and through CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement, through NAFTA, the North American so-called Free Trade Agreement, and various other agreements to which we are signatories, for example, the Sanitary and Phytosanitary Agreement. They've all tried to tie in Codex, so the Codex guidelines, as they call them, so that they will be imposed on the U.S., and if we don't accept them, then the U.S. would be subjected to WTO sanctions in the form of probably millions, if not billions, of dollars a year until we change DSHEA. And with an anti-DSHEA Congress now coming into power, we have to be especially vigilant to avoid that. So that's what approach number one is: contact your congressman and your senators and let him or her and them know that you don't want that document touched at all. You just like your vitamins and minerals just the way they are. And the second thing I would ask, and if I can say this, is to join the NHF. Log on to www.thenhf.com. thenhf.com. You can join online. It's only $36 a year, and it will really help us, because then we have more voices to speak for at the Codex meeting, and it gives us more clout at the meeting. When they ask us how many members we have, it makes a huge difference as to how many we have. Are we representing just a few people, a handful, or are we representing thousands and thousands?
How many members are there? Are you at liberty to say?
Well, I'm not at liberty to say, but let me put it this way. We put out a magazine that reaches probably 18,000 to 20,000 people, and our membership has swung wildly over the years. There are a lot of competing organizations that have sprung up, sort of newbie-type organizations that I don't think are bad at all, by the way, but have sprung up, and they're doing their little bit as well. But we're the ones that have been there the longest. We're the oldest, and we've had the most clout over the years. So.
And, of course, it's an excellent organization. I've known of it for some time. You know, one of the things that really disturbs me is this whole idea of the World Trade Organization coming down and saying, you're going to do this or you're going to be fined. And then, of course, the Congress will say, we don't want to just put that money out. We better knuckle under. I think what we ought to do is get out from under international control, have the decisions made by our elected representatives that we can fire. And if they're not willing to do that and get us out of the World Trade Organization, then, of course, we really need a big house cleaning in New York, pardon me, in Washington, D.C. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest this afternoon is Scott Tipps, who's the attorney for the National Health Federation. Do you have any allies there from other countries at these Codex meetings, Scott?
That's a great question, and yes, we have one, and that's, believe it or not, South Africa. The South African delegate, a woman named Antoinette Boysen, is of Afrikaner stock, and if you know them, they're fiercely independent. They're very individualistic. And she had a sister who was personally helped by natural means to overcome her cancer that she had. I forget what type it was. In any event, Antoinette Boysen, on behalf of South Africa and the National Health Federation, have almost always, at these meetings, been the only two voices for health freedom.
All right, fine. Well, now, of course, you mentioned the pharmaceutical industry on the other side. Are there actually organizations that are campaigning for Codex that really want this extra control over the lives and the dietary supplements of the average American?
I'm glad you asked that, actually, because I should have thought to have mentioned that part of it myself. But, yes, there are. There are some organizations such as, in my opinion, IADSA, the International Alliance of Dietary Supplement Associations, that ostensibly, purportedly, are representing the interests of dietary companies. And actually, in some respects, they are, because what's happened is a lot of pharmaceutical industries, our companies, have realized, hey, there's money to be made in this exploding natural substances market, so let's buy up these companies. So that's what they've been doing. And when they do that, then these dietary supplement companies have their own trade associations, such as the Natural Products Association, which used to be known until earlier this year as NNFA, Natural Nutritional Foods Association, and is the biggest one in the U.S., representing various supplement manufacturers and the like. It's, in my opinion, been captured by the pharmaceutical industry. They're the ones that call the shots there, and they support the Codex process. And why do they do it? Because, well, I think one reason is they were big supporters back before they were pharmaceutical controlled of Deshaies. But even the ones that are still, you know, family owned or whatever and are the big companies now, they didn't realize at the time 12 years ago how hugely innovative the law would be, how it would unleash a wave of innovation, and with it, a whole crop of competition.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Scott Tipps. Well, this is Dr. Stan here. Our guest this afternoon is Scott Tipps of the National Health Federation. And of course, if you would like to get in touch with their organization, you would go to www.thenhf.com. That's National Health Federation. So it's www.thenhf.com. TheNHF.com. And, of course, Mr. Tipps suggests that you may even want to give serious consideration to joining their organization. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1 800 pardon me, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And, you know, it seems so incredulous to the average individual that anybody could be wanting to regulate the amount of vitamins you could buy. In other words, you wouldn't be able to buy a vitamin C capsule with 500 milligrams with it anymore. Or heavens, a 1,000 milligrams? No, they would say you could only get 250 milligrams because they're figuring you're going to eat so many oranges or so many lemons and you're going to get your vitamin C that way. They're going to calculate what your diet should be. And yet these are the same people who years ago were telling us that we wanted to eat all these trans fats. They were wonderful for us, and we certainly didn't want to eat butter and things like that. Well, now suddenly we find that we might be better eating the butter than the trans fats that they've been giving us. And if you look and see, they keep giving us a pyramid, and then they keep changing the pyramid and keep changing the recommendations. And maybe the people are a lot smarter than the bureaucrats who seem to be so intent upon of regulating every aspect of our lives. Would that be a fair statement, Scott?
I think it'd be an extremely fair statement. I think it's all about personal responsibility. And when you get the government in the picture, you start taking away personal responsibility. And with it, you start taking away liberty and freedom.
Somebody once said that when it becomes the function of government to save all men from their folly, then we shall have a race of fools. And I'm not so sure that that hasn't already happened. Let's go to Mike, who's calling. And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I would like to know if you are concerned about what's happening. Do you really value your freedom? Do you value your health? Do you really think you can trust the government and government bureaucrats? The only thing to do is right for you, because we have some of the finest bureaucrats that money could buy. And if you don't think that these people, a lot of them are on the payroll of the pharmaceuticals, why, they just were going after some fellow, and I've forgotten whether he worked for NIH. He was doing research anyway on one of Pfizer's disease, of one of Pfizer's products, and getting $250,000 from Pfizer as a consultant for the very company he was supposed to be regulating. And some people thought there might be a conflict of interest. And he said, why, how could you accuse me of that? Anyway, hi, Mike. How are you doing? Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about if he's considered the nutritional labeling that's been on our food packaging for decades now, and if what is happening with the supplements, as you've been discussing, is simply a continuation of what they've already been doing in the general food supply and the general public. And whether or not they're able to even observe in the general sense the overall health of the public and compare that to what they already know is going out into the food supply in the way of nutrition, because they already know what it is as it is labeled. Does that make any sense?
In a way it does, if I may answer this, Dr. Stan. Yes, if I understand you correctly, you're talking about what the general level of nutrients are that people would consume in the normal diet?
Yeah, and it's labeled, so they already know. It's on the back of our packaging. It's there.
Right.
It's been there for decades, and so they know what's going out into the public, and it's called the required dietary or daily allowances, and I wonder if this is what we are being allowed.
Well, that's a really good question, and you're right. And daily value is the way they usually describe it on the labels these days. I do a lot of label review because one of my specialties is doing food and drug law, and I've been doing that since 1983. And the daily value is what you see on the label. But the interesting thing about it, Mike, is because you're right, they keep track of what the values of the foods are that you consume. And what they found is over the last 50 years, there's been a steady and pervasive decline in the nutrient level of the foods that we consume. And what's so incredibly stupid about these Codex people is they're using old values to subtract out from the maximum levels that would be permitted to you to take in dietary supplements. In other words, they figure out that, hey, you can only take, 400, I'm just picking a number from the air here, 400 milligrams of vitamin C, but because you're already getting in the diet 175, we're going to subtract that out because the normal consumer will get that, and we're only going to allow you to have a vitamin C capsule of 225 milligrams, but they're forgetting one important thing, and that is the information they're basing it on is 50 years out of date.
And, of course, this is really true of things like magnesium, isn't it? You know, certainly we're not getting the amount of magnesium today we were getting 50 years ago.
Absolutely correct. The soils have been so depleted. In fact, in England, it's a huge problem because the soils have been so depleted of selenium that bread baked in the UK is basically selenium-free. The most selenium-rich soils are around, you know, Idaho, Wyoming, those areas, North Dakota, the Dakotas, and that area. Any grains that are grown there, but even then, they're locked up with phytates in the grains, so you don't even absorb all of those from there. The best way to get selenium is either eating Brazil nuts or taking a dietary supplement.
Okay, anything else, Mike, you wanted to ask?
No, I just recall, though, reading about these sorts of things in, I think it was Leningrad, the siege that was put on. They regulated the amount of food. They knew how many people were in the city. They didn't really want to kill them.
Well, all we have to say is look, the average man in Russia today lives between 58 and 59 years. He used to live, about the same length of time as a woman does, but they've done some sort of a social experiment over there, and the men are dying at 58 and 59, and Russia is dying off. I mean, they are losing a million people every single year that are not being replaced. Isn't it wonderful when the government controls everything? Hey,
well, they can slowly regulate our nutrition down. They know how many people are out here, and they know how much nutrition has to go out into the public level they want.
And after all, aren't there too many people in the world? Hey, thanks so much for calling, Mike. All right, our telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. Our guest is Scott Tipps from the National Health Federation, who works for them and with them and represents them at the Codex meetings. And, you know, I'm surprised more people aren't really concerned about this idea of government interfering ever more in our lives. I guess people have got to the point where they just sort of take it for granted, you know. Well, we're just going to go along with it and try to figure a way around it, or maybe just, after all, they're a lot smarter than we are as far as what's good for our health. And, of course, if they were really concerned about our health, I would agree, but I'm not really concerned that they are, and convinced they are, especially when I see them fluoridating our water and when I've read the scientific studies, and anybody, of course, has read the material that's put out by the EPA scientists who are frantically trying to tell the American people that they're poisoning us, have requested they immediately stop all water fluoridation. And the American people have never heard what the scientists of the EPA say. And of course, these studies on mercury and on soy and the studies on MSG and the studies on aspartame and so many of the things in our diet that are actually poisoning our children and poisoning us as well. And is there anything that they can do through Codex about water fluoridation? Is there anything they can do, certainly about, the mercury in the vaccine? Certainly they do not allow thimerosal in some countries at all, do they?
Well, that's all very important issues for us. And the Codex Alimentarius, it really literally means in Latin, food code. So they don't deal with drugs. Those go under a different... whole different set of rules and people and all of that. So Codex Alimentarius isn't concerned with that, except for one thing that you mentioned, that's the fluoride. And at the most recent meeting in Thailand, our delegation was the only, interestingly enough, the only delegation to speak out against the addition of fluoride into infant formulas being allowed, and the incredibly stupid designation that they wanted to put on there, the Germans did especially, where, you know, in the ingredient list for the infant formulas, they could just put something called safe water. Well, our delegate head, Ingrid Franzen, asked the chairman, why do we say that? That's meaningless, and you're putting fluoride in this supposedly safe water. And he shut her down with some sort of comment, but her asking that question ignited a two-hour-long argument amongst the delegates and led to a change in that label statement. So now they won't just have safe water, they'll have to spell it out. So we are making a difference there, and we've been fighting fluoride ever since our existence. That's one of the reasons the National Health Federation was created, was to fight water fluoridation in the public water supplies.
I honestly believe that if we were going to take one issue and hammer away at it until people really began to look at the scientific studies and realize everything is a lie, and they're actually having a tremendous impact. One reason they use fluoride is because it has a very effective influence on fertility. I mean, it lowers the testosterone level in men. It lowers the sperm count, lowers the sperm motility, increases the incidence of Down's disease in children, so that you have a very young wife, and she'll still have a Down's disease child, and they won't want to have any more because it's such a burden. You know, they know exactly what they're doing, and I've read the writings of these people, the planners who've talked about putting things in water, even talked about putting fluoride in the salt to control fertility. They want to control our lives, and the average individual really doesn't understand that there is an elite that has a different worldview.
And in fact, Dr. Stan, I agree with that. The other thing is fluoride displaces in the body selenium. So it has some negative health effects there. And the other thing that some people have said, and I haven't researched this, is that fluoride actually not only dumbs down the population, but makes them more complacent, more likely to take government orders.
No, that's absolutely true. In fact, we have a book written back in, about 1957 by... it was called The Age of Treason, and it went into the fact that Adolf Hitler actually fluoridated the water in the occupied areas of Europe, but not in his own country. The Russians did exactly the same thing with the Gulag. In fact, they fluoridated the water in Eastern Europe before the Berlin Wall came down, you know, because that was a good way to control the population. And once they actually took the Berlin Wall down, the dental health of the people in Eastern Europe improved when they got away from the fluoridated water. But the average person will never hear these things because of the degree of control that exists today over what they read in the newspapers and hear on radio and see on television, and because their doctor really doesn't know. And if we could just, you know, get the people educated and get them educating the doctors and the dentists, who knows what we might accomplish.
Yeah, and the other thing is to keep the heat on the politicians, because as our late president of the National Health Federation said, politicians don't see the light, they just feel the heat. So again, I would encourage your listeners to be persistently vocal in letting their views be known to the politicians.
Well, now, is there a codex that's working here for the United States? You're working primarily with the codex in Europe, aren't you?
Well, the U.S., it's worldwide, basically. And so it's just that the meetings are usually held in Europe. But the U.S. is a signatory. The U.S. government attends. I had at the, and this is a good story that you need to know and your listeners need to know. I was at the Ottawa, Canada meeting last May as the NHF delegate, and actually was very successful in getting installed into the world global plan, the fact that Codex should be optimizing health and nutrition. The chairwoman of the meeting, who is an excellent chairwoman, by the way, a Canadian woman named Anne McKenzie, accepted that and inserted it into the language until the U.S. delegate, Barbara Schneeman, raised her hand and said, oh, we can't have that language in there. We can't have the language to optimize health and nutrition as one of our goals. And it was taken out because we were just a nonprofit organization. She represented a country. And if a country objects to what a nonprofit organization wants, then they prevail. So the chairwoman was forced to withdraw it, even though the U.S. was the only objecting country there. Not even the EU, not Russia, not any China, no one else, just the U.S.
What's wrong with helping health?
What's wrong with optimizing health and nutrition? And yet this idiot studying to be a moron caused that language to be withdrawn, and it was the only instance where that language was in there, caused it to be withdrawn from this world global plan and what the goals were to deal with health and nutrition in the world.
Well, of course, I don't think it's there. That should be their function at all. I think that should be the function of the individual. I think the
Absolutely.
Individual will look far more, better for their health. But at least I'm glad you're there. And at least, you know, you sort of have to play a game sometime when you're in these organizations. Do you ever have that feeling, you know, we're going along with the system, but we really don't agree with it?
Yeah, well, it's true, and that's the way it is that we see it. I don't agree with it. I don't think it should be there either. But I would rather if they were going, and it's certainly not their goal to optimize health and nutrition. It should be the individual. But if they're going to have a focus in some way, at least these were sort of general principles that what they're doing. And what I'd rather them say than their goal is to protect the consumer from himself or herself, because that's the direction they're headed, and that's what they say in their global world strategy. I'd rather them say optimize health and nutrition. So if I have to have a choice in the political world as to whether they're going to protect us from ourselves, which is always a recipe for disaster, or optimize health and nutrition, I'll go with optimize health and nutrition any day of the week.
All right, fine. Well, I appreciate you there, and I appreciate the fact that you're at least there, you know, monitoring what's going on, and hopefully we can get you on from time to time.
Oh, I'd love to.
When will you be back here in the United States, Scott?
Probably in about a week or so, actually.
I mean, will you be actually staying here for a time, or what?
Oh, I sort of move around. I'm kind of the PT philosophy, you know, the permanent tourist philosophy. I kind of believe you. It's good to be kind of a traveler, let me put it that way. So I'm there for a while, and then I come back here, and then I go back to Texas or California. So I get around.
I see, fine. Well, of course, I'm sure we can always probably get hold of you through the National Health Federation.
Yes.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up the program here with Scott Tips right here at Radio Liberty. Well, Scott, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Well, first of all, and most importantly of all, I want to thank you, Dr. Stan, for letting me be on. I think you're providing an incredible service, and I have to compliment your listeners. If your listeners out there are the smart ones, because instead of being dumbed down by the mainstream media, they actually have a real mind and are knowing that they need to get the real news elsewhere. They aren't going to get it from the daily tabloid there. So I would urge them to, your listeners, to continue that quest. And we put out a magazine, we put out e-newsletters, and we're a good source of information at the National Health Federation. So if for some reason you aren't online, call this number, and I'll give you a number. It's not a 1-800 number, I'm sorry, but it's a 626 area code, and then 357-2181, and they'll sign you up right then and there for a membership at only $36, which is really just barely covering our costs. So I'd urge you to do that, and once again, using up my 3 minutes here, to be persistently vocal. Don't forget, with your own constituent, if you're in Texas, don't write Ted Kennedy. That won't do you any good. Write your own senators, write your own congressman or congresswoman, and they'll listen to you. If enough of you do it, they'll listen to you because you're the constituent. You're the one that's voting for that person or voting against that person.
And the one thing, of course, they don't want is to get the people in their district angry with them. And if they know there's enough angry people who are really very vociferous, why, they're not going to get reelected again. And the old adage that most congressmen aren't dedicated to the right, and they're not dedicated to the left. They're just dedicated to staying in Congress.
That's right. And if I can add, Ron Paul of Texas is the person I consider to be my congressman. Just Google Ron Paul, just like two first names there, and see what he stands for, and I think you'll find he's been a steadfast defender of everything that you've been talking about, Dr. Stan, and is a wonderful, one of the few wonderful representatives in Congress.
Well, of course, he gave up his medical practice to do what he's doing. I know he loved to be, you know, an obstetrician, but I think he's a great patriot, and I've known him for more than 40 years, followed his career, And I certainly applaud his efforts, and I applaud what you're doing as well, Scott. So
Thank you.
Keep in touch with us, and if anything comes up you'd like to go on one of our programs, well, you know how to get in touch with me. We'd be glad to get you on again.
Thank you. I'd love it. Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Goodbye and God bless. Okay.
Bye.
This
Thank
was
you.
Scott Tips, and calling from France today, but of course he's got an important message for you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and when we were talking to Scott, you know, the question came up as to why these people want to regulate everything. Why do they want to regulate the amount of vitamin C and the amount of niacin and vitamin B1? You know, it took many years before we were able to get adequate vitamins and do away with things like scurvy and osteomalacia, so many of the diseases that really do affect people. I mean, certainly if you're taking large doses of vitamin C, you'll have less heart disease. Large doses of vitamin D, you'll have less infections and less cancer. These things are well known. We could talk about resveratrol. You know, if you're taking sufficient doses of magnesium, you're not going to be taking all these things to quiet down your heart, and then they have all sorts of side effects. You know, people have multiple heartbeats. You can quiet it down in many instances with magnesium, and you do not need to take these other drugs. You take the drugs, and then you have a reaction to that, and then you have a reaction to the new drug, and you have to take another drug. And this is why people are putting out so much money on medicine. One problem generates another. Well, you have to understand there really are evil people out there. You need to see my talk on planned population reduction. There really are people who'd like to kill off a third of the world's population. You know, half the world's population, three-quarters of the world's population, nine-tenths of the world's population. You need, of course, to read my Population Controlled Agenda monograph. You can get it for nothing up on the internet at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Or, of course, if you get into the products we mentioned, why, you can certainly get a free copy. We'll send it to you. The Population Controlled Agenda monograph. And, of course, we have the DVD or video, Planned Population Reduction. And if you can stand listening to me talk for 2 hours and a quarter, although we have a lot of things there that projected up on the screen as far as the text of what we're talking about and the documentation of what we're talking about. I mean, it's not simply by accident that we've killed off 100 million people after we banned DDT, which is the safest insecticide known to man. Do you honestly think they were concerned about, you know, the eggshells, or were they concerned about you're actually allowing 100 million people to die from malaria over the last 33 years. Understand that there really are evil and wicked people. You need to get our four tape set on population control, because it goes into great length on DDT and this scam and what happened in Rwanda. And you know, they knew what was happening in Rwanda. They left those 800,000 Christians to be just chopped up with machetes. They knew exactly what they were doing, and they left them there to die. And I've interviewed the general who was in charge, the UN general, and he had always regretted that he'd obeyed the orders he was given and not had the courage to speak out and save those lives of the 800,000 people who were needlessly slaughtered while Bill Clinton was telling the people and his staff, don't use the word genocide in reference to Rwanda. Because if you did, why, we'd have to intervene. Criminal activity at the highest levels of our society, and now we see him smiling all the time, so popular among the people. And then, of course, we have a video called The Population Control. We actually carry, we have the full text of the National Security Study Memorandum 200 that came out in 1974 over the signature of Henry Kissinger, calling for worldwide population control. It was marked top secret for years. It's been declassified, I think, about 1992. You can get it from us. You can get it off the internet, but if you get it from us, you'll get it, you know, nicely bound. And the same thing with Dr. David MacArthur's testimony in July of 1969 before the House Appropriations Committee on Military Affairs. This is quite a large volume. Somebody in government sent it to us so we could get it out, because they wanted you to know. In 1969, they were planning on creating a new disease for mass killing. That was his words. Some people say we should not be creating this new disease because it's another method of mass killing, but we want to create it anyway. And ladies and gentlemen, they're working on these diseases right now at Fort Detrick, Maryland. They know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know that they're planning on mass genocide. Well, remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
With news on the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. Correspondent Thomas Watkins reports Marine Squad Leader has been charged with more than a dozen counts of murder.
He faces a total of 13 counts of murder. It's not entirely clear if it was unpremeditated or not, and according to the charge sheet, he advised his Marines to shoot first and ask questions later.
They say that their men were behaving exactly the way they'd been trained to, and that is to respond to a perceived threat with the force that they've been authorized to do so, to protect themselves and their own lives and their fellow Marines.
NASA spokesman Rob Navius says the big question mark is where will the space shuttle land?
Our intent is, by the flight rules, to land on Friday at one of the three sites, whichever winds up winning